Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. Hey, Dad, if you're watching, happy Father's Day. Mom, if you're watching, could you go out and buy a card for Dad and write it for me? I'm just kidding. I'm not, Mom. We have a unique Sunday for you today to honor our fathers. And instead of just hearing from one person today, we are going to be hearing from five. And we have many different father figures and father relationships in our lives. And we wanted to take the time to hear about them today. And you'll see we have two chairs on stage, but a bit of a twist this time. We're not hearing from the dads. We are going to be hearing from the sons and the daughters in these relationships about the lessons and wisdom that they've learned from their dads. We don't always take the time to tell people what an influence they've had on us. So we're giving the dads the day off. We're going to let them sit back and hear what impact they've had on their sons and daughters and just honor them for it. And actually, as we were deciding who would host, Joel pulled the Uno reverse dad card on me and threw that down, and I can't compete in that arena, so he's having the day off too, as a dad day off, so. Small applause there. So without further ado, let's hear from our speakers. And our first relationship is that of our biological father. And we have Ella McDougall, an incredible young woman who amazes me in her maturity and wisdom. And I'm sure we could actually learn a lesson or two from you, Ella. But let's welcome Ella to the stage and her dad, Chris, as she shares some lessons.
Well, happy Father's Day. I was asked to share about my dad, Christopher McDougall, and the things that he has taught me. My dad has to do a lot of... my dad always has a to-do list, and time management is very important to him, so... Dad, I'm going to get right to this. Number one, he taught me how to read. Every night after supper, my dad sat with me and helped me work on reading. He was patient with me and helped me... keep going even when I felt frustrated. We read as a family every night. We read books like The Chronicles of Narnia. These are one of my favorite things that my dad does with us. Two, he taught me how to ride my bike. He helped me practice. It felt like I wasn't going to get it figured out. But one day, when he was helping me practice, I told him not to let go of my bike. He told me he wouldn't, but he did anyway. I guess he kind of lied, but I'm sure Dad repented and God's forgiven him. I have too. Three, he taught me how to skate. Dad hadn't skated since high school, so we both kind of learned together. Four, he taught me how to say sorry and forgive. He taught me how to say sorry and forgive by saying those very things to me. He is an awesome dad, but he's not perfect, just like everyone else in this room. So when he makes a mistake, he tells me he's sorry and asks me to forgive him. And of course, I forgive him. Five, he taught me how to pray. Every day he takes time to pray with me, just me and him. I think that's pretty cool. Six, he taught me when stuff happens, obey and trust God and keep going through pushing what I can. Keep pushing through doing what I can. My dad has to do that all the time. I have some really tough health challenges. I've been in the hospital many times. There's been some really tough moments. I know how tough it has been for me, but he's my dad. I know it's been very hard for him, too. Every day, I have to spend a lot of time doing treatments to keep myself healthy. I have to do that whether I want to or not. It's not always easy. He encourages me to do what the doctors and nurses tell me to do, to trust they are giving me the best advice they can see, they can. But he sees that it's tough for me to do that, so he helps me. In fact, since I was 23 days old, he has spent lots of time with me every day helping me do my treatments. Dad and I both do our part. We obey God. We keep pushing through, and we trust him with everything. God loves me. God loves my dad. God is in control and we're all in his hands. So yes, my dad is a pretty great dad. There's one thing he could do a lot better on, though. Cooking. I love you, Dad.
That was amazing. Thank you, Ella. In case you're wondering, Ella is 11 years old. 11. Well done, Ella. And I know, Ella, that God has amazing plans for you. He's already using your voice in the fight against CF, but I think there is a lot of things that he wants to say through you. So there are big plans on your life, Ella. You're amazing. We actually had some debate about how best to decorate the stage for Father's Day, and I think a motorcycle was thrown out, a barbecue, but the budget only stretched to a cactus, so that one's for you, dads. Enjoy that. Our next relationship is for adoptive fathers, and there are so many reasons why children get adopted, and I read a beautiful quote that said, "You may not have given me the gift of life, but life gave me the gift of you." And so we have a familiar face for you next to speak. Emily is going to tell us about the lessons that she's learned from her dad, Ben.
Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads and the acting dads out there. And also a special shout out to my biological father, Mark. Hi. Today, I'm really excited because I get to talk about this amazing man right here, my dad. Adoption is a good word. In our family, it's as common as the word hello. And I've never felt different because I was adopted. I've only felt loved. My parents, they're just that. They're my parents. They're not my adoptive parents. They're my mom and my dad. And today, Dad, it is all about you. Whether it's spoken to me directly or I've seen it through your actions, your wisdom is priceless to me. And as I was going through your lessons, I realized that many of them related to the fruits of the Spirit. Lesson one, when something upsets you, wait 24 hours before responding. Taking this time allows me to remain calm and to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, which hopefully prevents me from making the situation worse. Thank you, Dad, for helping me learn about patience and self-control. Lesson two, don't take everything too seriously. Now, I am a competitive person, and I really, really like winning. So when I lose, it's tough. But whenever my team would lose in sports, Dad would say, "Well, Emily, you made the other team happy." And that would always make me smile and just bring perspective. Now, when something doesn't go my way, well, I guess someone else needed a win. Thank you, Dad, for helping me find my peace. Ever since I got my first dollar, I was taught to tithe. I remember getting my allowance and taking my little shiny dime and putting it in my pretty little purse and then taking it to church and putting it in the offering. Dad's example taught me that there's wisdom in working hard and being diligent with my tithe, but that ultimately God is our provider. Thank you, Dad, for teaching me about faithfulness, both yours and God's. Lesson four. God loves a cheerful giver, and sharing is caring, especially when he wants the food that I have. I have seen Dad help people time and time again. I've seen him give money to those down on their luck and to just someone he wants to bless. And Dad has a soft spot for kids. I remember going to the park, and it was like it had just rained coins before we arrived. Kids would be thrilled to find nickels and dimes and quarters and even loonies buried in the dirt. And of course, Dad would be like, "Hey, what's that shiny thing over there?" He got such joy from watching them find it. It was like he remembered when he was younger and he would find a nickel or a dime. Thank you, Dad, for teaching us to be generous and about pure joy. Lesson five. Everyone deserves kindness. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. Dad is kind and genuine. His actions are like those of the Good Samaritan. He would have done the same thing. And Dad lives Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, For by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Just last week, a man crashed his bike near our house, and my dad ran out and took the man and his bike home. And then the next day, he went back to his house to check on him. I've seen you give respect and time to those marginalized in society. Thank you, Dad, for teaching us to be kind without ever saying a word about it. Dad loves family, and he makes them a priority and will do almost anything for them. He sat through hundreds of basketball games and drove our teams to many tournaments. Just the act of showing up meant so much to me, and it still does. His commitment to family is incredible. On Saturdays, he would always drive my grandma Lauren to church. And on Sundays, I woke up to him every time talking to Grandma Taylor on the phone. Thank you, Dad, for showing us what love looks like. I am so blessed to have you. And these lessons, they may seem simple, but I believe that by living through them, they will have profound results in my life. Thank you, Dad. I love and appreciate you so much. And I am so thankful that God placed me in your family.
Thank you, Emily and Ben. That was amazing. I'm struggling to keep it together. I'm like, I've got to get up and host. Thank you, Emily. Simple but profound lessons. I love that. I actually said at the start that dads get the day off, but it's not true of our next two guests, because Eric Rooney is going to share, and he's a dad of two himself, so I'm sorry, Eric, you're the only dad that has to also work. But Eric is here to talk about the relationship that you gain through marriage and the wisdom that he's learned from his father-in-law, Ron Sharp. So I'll hand it over to Eric.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to take this thing off first. Good morning, everybody, and happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. It's a special day, and make sure that you take the time to just take it all in. You guys work hard. So it's an honor for me today to be up here to talk about my father-in-law, Ron. As a father myself, I often think ahead to when my kids are going to be older and they start dating, and what it's going to be like for me to go through that. And I'm often coming up with all these schemes and ideas on how I can make these kids squirm, and so looking back, when I first met Ron, I remember being on the opposite end of that and expecting a lot, you know, to kind of prove myself that I'm worthy to date his daughter. And it wasn't like that at all from the start. Right from the start, he was welcoming and very kind, very opening, very open, and he's just a man who's interested in getting to know people, and I was no exception. We're both interested in technology and mechanical stuff, so we naturally kind of hit it off right off the bat with all of those sorts of things. It didn't take us very long until we were working on various projects, home renovations and fixing cars and all that kind of stuff. So it really helped me to have that common interest with him. But for me, I was in a spot where with a lot of those things, I had the interest and I think I had the aptitude, but I just didn't have a lot of the skills and the experience to really proceed with these kinds of things on my own. And Ron, he's been doing this stuff for a long time. I've asked him about his life growing up, and since he was little, he was always fixing things. He was always interested in figuring out how things worked, and so it was to my advantage to have Ron at my side when we were doing these projects, and we really were able to bond with that with those things. He taught me about home maintenance and how to perform various procedures. Most of the tools, well, a good portion of the tools I have today, he's bought me. I look forward to birthdays and different things. He always just seems to know what I need. And yeah, I feel like I'm a I've been able to pay it forward with helping others because of the skills that I've learned from Ron here, and it's been really good. He just likes to help people around him. He constantly goes out of his way to figure out if there's something that he can do to help, and he's very enthusiastic when he's offering up his abilities. And the special thing about this is that he doesn't really seem to expect anything in return. He's one of those people who can just, out of the goodness of his heart, take pride in doing the work. It's that the work, the helping somebody is its own reward. And I'm sure that there's lots of people listening today and in here today that have been helped in some small way or even maybe in a big way by this man here. Ron has a wife, her name is Rose, and two daughters, Kaylee and Lisa. He's always been faithful to his family. He's had a very successful career, and it would have been very easy for him, I think, to invest a lot of his time and, you know, work long days, long weekends, and that sort of stuff. But from what I've heard growing up and from what I've observed, he has always put family first. Kaylee tells me about how excited she would get when Ron came home from work when she was younger. He was always ready for fun and silliness, and he was always just happy to be home and was able to leave the stresses of work at work. And I use this example to keep my head in the game with my own kids, so even if I have a hard day, I can go home and just enjoy my family. I'm running out of time here, so it's been great to get to know this man. I've been blessed to have him in my life. My biological father is no longer with us. I lost him 2 years ago, and so for me to have Ron as such a close father-in-law, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have the relationship that I had with Ron when I lost my dad. And so I've got lots of things here I didn't touch on, but Ron, I just want to say that you're a very special man. And to the fathers out there, don't underestimate your impact with regards to being a father-in-law. We're watching you too as sons and daughters-in-laws, and we're learning all the time from the things that you do. And we love you, and Ron, I love you. Thank you very much.
So what does it mean to be a dad? I mean, at its core, what does it mean to be the best dad you can be? I mean, a dad's dad.
Found you!
Sometimes being a dad means you play hide-and-seek before breakfast.
You're so easy to find.
Maybe because I'm three times your size.
You know, there's more to being a dad than driving a minivan, wearing socks and sandals, and telling bad jokes.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
Hey, I taught you that. Go wake up your brother, would you?
Ryan, Dad says to get up.
Kids, pancakes!
You know, being a dad isn't easy. It's like being under a constant job evaluation with managers who are much, much shorter than you.
So we should strive to be the best dad we can be, because being a dad is a gift and a privilege. It's not an inconvenience or a burden. Now, lawn care, that's a burden.
So let me tell you some things I've learned along the way.
Ryan, it's time to get up, buddy.
Kids need you to be present. They spell love, T-I-M-E. If you get a chance to jump on the trampoline, go jump on the trampoline. It's not going to kill you. Probably.
Be your kid's biggest encouragement. I love to catch my kids doing something great, and I love to be intentional about letting them know that I noticed.
And here's another one. Love when it isn't easy.
Excuse me.
And even when they're being annoying, I try to be slow to anger. Do I do it perfectly? You bet I do not. Not even close.
That's why it's important they're not number one. Right, champ? Mm.
He's still asleep. It needs to be obvious that my relationship with God comes first. And through that relationship, I can gain wisdom and strength and perspective.
So don't sweat it. We all mess up. I know I've messed up a lot. And that's okay.
The key is when you mess up, is to ask for forgiveness. That's what a real dad does. Oh, and the jokes.
Got any new ones?
Yeah, did you hear the one about the pizza? It's probably too cheesy.
Don't forget about the cake.
Fun lessons there. Thank you, Eric and Ron. It's amazing to see a relationship grow from DIY projects to such powerful life lessons. And so we have two speakers left, two relationships, and next we are honoring the relationship of that of a spiritual father, someone who God has placed in our lives to bring out the God-given potential in us. And so I'd like to welcome Deborah Lachance to come up and speak on behalf of many of us about her spiritual father, Dave Wells.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. Today, Dave, I want to honor you and thank you for being a spiritual father in my life. I also want to stand in on behalf of the masses across the globe and within our church family with much gratitude for your gift of fathering of so many. While attending LifeLinks Conference in Winnipeg a short time ago, as you passed the baton to Ian and Val, a number of people who talked of you being a spiritual father to them was staggering. I am not the only one who could sit across from you today and say that you have believed in me, given me incredible wisdom and counsel numerous times. Your availability, willingness to be inconvenienced, your genuine love for people, dedication to the kingdom of God, and the way you come alongside at integral moments of sorrow, joy, crisis, and celebration is rare and deeply valued. You know how to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, regardless of what's happening in your own life. That inspires me. I'm going to highlight four lessons Dave has taught me, and I'm sure many of you will remember hearing these things from him as well. Don't let fear make your decisions. I remember the first time I met with you, Dave, shortly after your family moved from Swan River. I was 18 years old. You were dealing with the aftermath of a church falling apart and all the pressures and needs that came with it. You had squeezed me in, though, before heading home for supper. I was living in so much fear. You took time to share stories from your own life when you had faced fear, stared it down, and you told me that I could believe. You believed I could, too. You said, Deb, don't let fear make your decisions in life, and asked me, if I was to just take one step toward my fear, what would that look like? You prayed for me, but said there wasn't a magic prayer that would make all my fear go away, that God would give me the courage to face my fear if I was willing to step toward it, and he has. It was the first of many times you have challenged me not to let fear make my decisions. Number two, be the change you want to see. You have encouraged me not to sit on the sidelines and complain about what the church should be, but be the change I want to see. If you see a gap or a change that needs to happen, be it, live it. You are the church. That has been an important lesson I have learned from you, and it has helped me move out of a seat of judgment and into action and taking ownership. When Francois and I were first married, we considered leaving the church because we were having trouble connecting. Dave and Linda sat in our living room, and Dave told us, well, you can leave if you want, with Linda exclaiming, Dave! Or you could start a young couples group and create the community you're missing. If you need this, likely others do as well. They gave us some ideas and people we could call for help, and before long, we had a bunch of young couples playing games, doing meals together, and felt no need to leave. Here we are, firmly planted 28 years later. I could give you many more examples of times when the gap I saw became the place where I could serve and find community. Number three, grow elephant skin. Dave has told me this often. You need to grow elephant skin if you're going to survive ministry. Pastor Joel mentioned this recently in one of his messages too. Must be a family thing. But so true. If we are easily offended and allow criticism and the opinions of others to take root, we will get taken out. He would tell me, you've got to let the negative stuff roll off you, but keep a soft, humble, and teachable heart. A thick skin does not mean a hard heart. Over the years, I have seen arrows fly in Dave's direction. I've seen friends betray him, people criticize him, and walk away after years of investing in them. But he has lived this truth. He has elephant skin. But his heart remains soft, humble, and teachable. He's always willing to learn. He chooses to love and be available to people no matter how many times he gets burned. And because of that, there are many he has reached for the kingdom. Many who have sat under his leadership and thrived. And many hearts like mine that have been healed and found a place of acceptance and belonging. I have learned from you, Dave, to stand strong. But that surrender, humility, open hands, and open heart is the winning posture. Number four, be a truth teller. Dave is a truth teller. You can't know Dave for very long without picking that up. He's not into flattery or empty compliments. Being a truth teller, though, gives him credibility, integrity, stability, and sets a foundation of trust. He's not mean in his truth telling. He does his best to present truth in love and finds appropriate moments to share truth without causing people embarrassment or shame. Something Sarah Jakes said of her dad, T.D. Jakes, a well-known speaker and author, that resonated with me about Dave. She said, "Because he told me the truth in his criticism, I could trust that he was telling me the truth in his compliments." Dave, you've said some hard things to me at times, challenged my thinking when I was off base, and you were honest with me. But you have also told me the good things you saw in me and encouraged me. You often see the potential in people that they can't see in themselves. That's what a spiritual father does. Calls us into being what God created us to be. Thank you for that. It was almost 42 years ago that I met the Wells family at a church camp. Dave and Linda were pastoring in Swan River at the time, and they would make the trek with others from their congregation. You could find Dave playing ball at the Ball Diamonds over the years with Joel and Tracy and others. He and Linda sitting for hours ministering to people in their campsite or in the dining hall. And at services, both Dave's hands raised in full surrender during worship. I could see that he knew how to have fun and laugh, that he loved Jesus. He was an awesome father, a role model, and one who pulled out the best in those around him. I remember the first time I was brave enough to go up for an altar call at camp. And you came along and prayed for me, Dave. Gently put your hand on my head and prayed for me. I don't remember what you said, but I felt seen and valued in that moment, like I mattered, even though I was only 10 years old and hurting on the inside. So I want to challenge us all today. We don't know who's watching our lives and what kind of impact we're having. Dave likely had no idea this little girl was watching him and seeing glimpses of what her heavenly father was perhaps like. He had no idea the impact of a hand on the head and a short prayer. Or that 40 years later, we would be sitting on this stage today. Wow. In the midst of all the lessons that have been caught and taught, all the sermons I have listened to, the two biggest things Dave has said to me is, "I believe in you and I'm proud of you." So to all the men out there, you might not feel as brilliant as Dave, as wise or as experienced, but all of you, young and old, can tell others you believe in them and that you're proud of them. You can take a moment and put a hand on a head and pray. You can cheer on those around you and live a life of integrity before God. We need spiritual fathers in the kingdom, and you can be that too. And if you've longed for a spiritual father, ask God to put those trustworthy men in your life. But then you must be willing to take the risk to let them near. It wasn't easy for me to trust, and it won't be easy for many of you to trust. If you have been hurt, abandoned, abused, disappointed, or simply didn't have a dad in your life, you will be tempted to find a flaw and write off the people that God brings into your life to love you. Don't let that happen. No one loves or does it perfectly like our Heavenly Father, not even Dave. And yet unrealistic expectations can sabotage the longings of our hearts. So stay in when it feels tough. Stretch your ability to trust. And then watch how God grows and matures you through the spiritual fathers he places in your life. In closing, I also want to thank Joel and Tracy for sharing your dad with so many of us. You have sacrificed much as your dad has poured into others around you all your lives. And yet, I don't see bitterness. I see that you are totally proud of him and who he is, which means in the midst of it all, he loved you well, and he loves his grandkids well. Dave, you have created a legacy that shows when we are connected to the vine, our Heavenly Father, that there is enough love to go around. There is always room at the table for one more. So Dave, on behalf of the masses across the globe, those sitting here in seats today and watching online, all the hearts that you have impacted, including mine, thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah. That was so good. Hands up, who has learnt one of those lessons from Dave also? Yeah, put it in the comments. Me too. I think I learnt from Dave what a snowblower is. That's probably the biggest lesson you taught me, Dave. For our final speaker, although we have two chairs on the stage, one will remain empty. And we love celebrating dads, but we would be remiss to not acknowledge that Father's Day can actually be incredibly tough for a lot of people. And so in this next relationship, whether your father isn't close because of physical proximity and they live somewhere else, or because your father's not here on earth anymore, we can still honor and celebrate them and thank them for the lessons they taught us. So let's welcome our final speaker, Adeyinka Adebule.
Thanks, Jenny. Good morning, church, and excuse me, and happy Father's Day to everyone. I've been asked to share some of the memories and lessons I learned from my father. My father passed away over a decade ago, and I remember visiting my father in the hospital the evening he passed away. I remember sitting on his bed with his head on my lap as I gently struck his head. He was unresponsive, and his breathing was faint. Suddenly, he started breathing really slow, so the doctor was called to attend to him. And a few hours later, he was pronounced dead. Just as much as I remember that incident, I also remember the lessons he taught me. So today, I'll be sharing two of those lessons with you. One of the things I picked up from my father was integrity. I know my father to be someone who would not compromise his integrity for anything, not fame or wealth. I remember a story my mom shared of a man my father helped at work. At the time, my father was working for Air France as the station manager. Part of his role was to manage the flow and distribution of cargo and goods that comes into the country through Air France. On one occasion, one of his clients did not receive his good and cargo. After trying every means to retrieve his cargo with no luck, he was advised to speak to the station manager, which he eventually met my father. My father took it upon himself to help him find his cargo. The cargo was retrieved and returned back to the man intact. I guess the man was thrilled that my father took it upon himself to help him locate his cargo. So in return, he decided to show appreciation by gifting my dad a brand new TV. The TV was delivered to our house, but my father wasn't home. So my mom received it. When my father got back, my mom told him that someone dropped off a TV to show appreciation for helping him find his goods. However, my father decided that he would return the gift because he felt he was only doing his job and should not be rewarded for doing his job. So he gave back the TV. I'm not sure what I would have done, but my father did that. That story stuck with me. I learned from that story the importance of contentment through the action of my father. The second lesson I learned from my father is that he was a man of faith. Growing up, we had 5 golden rules we would recite during our family prayer time. And the 5 golden rules are to be thankful always, to be helpful always, to be self-helpful always, to be forgiving always, and to be faithful always. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off in the way they should go, And even when they grow, they will not depart from it. At a young age, my father instilled in me the importance of faith, the power of prayer, and the transformative power in the Word of God. I started fasting and prayer at a young age too. Although at the time it wasn't a great experience, however, I believe that those experiences growing up formed and shaped me into the man I've become. You know, when my father passed away, he didn't really leave behind a great deal of wealth or riches or much of an inheritance. However, he left me with an inheritance that is greater than any and all earthly inheritance combined. He introduced me to Jesus, which in my own opinion is the greatest inheritance any father or parent can give to their children. In conclusion, I could go on and on and on about memories and lessons learned from my father, but I would like to end with this, that although my earthly father is gone, I still have my heavenly father who loves me and has continued to supply all my needs according to his riches. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you, Eddie Inca, for sharing so much. I know that will have spoken to so many for whom today is a really tough day. Can we just give it up for our speakers again? Ella, Emily, Eric, Deborah, and Eddie Inca. That was awesome. So many lessons, so good. And also a huge thank you to our dads. I think we can all agree it's not easy to actually just sit on a stage and accept praise and nice things said about you. But I think we should make it more of a culture where it actually becomes natural to just encourage someone. Don't you agree? Like, life is full of so much negativity. We should just be encouraging people. This shouldn't be awkward to receive praise. So whatever father figures you have in your life today, one thing that we all have in common is our Heavenly Father. And just like Eddie Inca said, he loves us beyond compare. And wherever we've fallen short in our own humanity, as fathers, as mothers, as sons and daughters, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so if you're listening today and you're thinking, like, I don't have these father figures in my life, well, there is a Heavenly Father that loves you. And so thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you've had an awesome day. I've loved hearing all of the lessons. And why not go and find a father figure in your life today and tell them exactly what they've taught you and just share that, encourage them, and let them know how much you appreciate them. So I think I can already smell the barbecues firing up in gardens, ready for these Father's Day lunches. So have an awesome week, everybody. Have a great day, dads. And we will see you next Sunday.